Should thank Robert for putting all of this together for us, our 30th Christmas together, and did a fine job. And thank you to all who participated as well. For devotions this morning, you said brief or short? Brief?
Yeah.
For our devotions this morning, a little bit different than just a normal Sunday. But I wonder if we could talk a little bit about who Jesus is. Some of the songs that we've been singing have been talking about him, but who is he really? So all we're going to do this morning is use his name as an acrostic, and we're going to come up with a few things that are true about the Lord Jesus that I trust will be memorable and that will help you through the Christmas season to really be able to worship him and to thank him. Jesus is the translation of the Greek word Iesus, which means, anybody? Jehovah is salvation, right? Jehovah is salvation. It corresponds to the Old Testament name of Joshua. In Hebrew, it's Yehoshua. And in fact, you will probably hear most Jewish Christians use the name Yeshua when referring to the Lord Jesus. This was a name given to him by the angel Gabriel at the time when he told both Mary and Joseph that Mary was going to have a son conceived of the Holy Ghost, and they were to call his name Jesus, for, he said, he will save his people from their sins. So, what do the scriptures tell us about Jesus? So, his name is spelled J-E-S-U-S in English. And so, I'm going to suggest a few thoughts for each of the letters and just a lot of scripture. Just so you know that the things we'll talk about are bound in the scriptures itself. So, under the J, what do you think? Any ideas? Well, we're talking about Jesus, so the J means or stands for Jehovah, right? We went through this little exercise at one of our Christmas dinners about 9 years ago, so I hope you remember from back then what they were. So J is Jehovah, and we have verses like this. John 8:58, when Jesus was in conversation with the Pharisees, and he said that he knew Abraham was glad to see his day, and the Pharisees came back and said, "You're not 50 years old yet. You've seen Abraham?" And then verse 58 of John 8 says, "Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Right? And I am is the signature name of God Almighty from the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. You remember? Moses said, well, if I'm going to go back to the people of Israelites in Egypt and they're going to ask me what your name is, what will I tell them? And he said, Asher, Elohim, Echad, Yehovah, Yehovah, Echad. The Lord is his name. He said, I am that I am. And I am is his name. And so that name, when Jesus used it in John 8, was an indication that Jesus understood that he himself was Jehovah God. John 10, verse 30, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. They are one. Not just one in purpose and spirit, but one in being is, I think, the intent there. And then lastly, John 14, verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? So Jesus is the embodiment of the eternal God, the triune God, Jehovah. And that is a good reminder for us with J. The E stands, or at least relates for me, to the name Emmanuel. Yes, Emmanuel. And we have several verses in the scripture that use the name Emmanuel. Matthew 1, 22 and 23 says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Yes. And that comes from Isaiah 7, verse 14, which says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So Jesus is the fulfillment of that Old Testament scripture as well. And according to the angel, he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. In Isaiah 8, verse 8, "And he shall pass through Judah, he shall overflow and go over, he shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel." I know we're dropping into a context that you really need to read the surrounding verses, but once again, the name Emmanuel is here, and that relates to the Lord Jesus. So he is Jehovah, he is Emmanuel. And excuse me for a second. Next letter is S. There's a few ideas we can throw in for S. What do you think?
Savior.
Savior? Not yet. Salvation? Not yet. For the first S, I have Son of God. He is the Son of God, right? And that is the unique relationship from the incarnation. So in Luke 1:35, the angel said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Right? Conceived of the Spirit, born of the Virgin, he is the Son of God. And of course, John 3:16, you all know that one. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." The word begotten is the Greek word monogenes. It means only begotten, only generated. See, Jesus is the only one that God has ever generated. The Son, being God the Son, has now become the Son of God. "So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." At his baptism, in Matthew 3, verse 17, "A voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And of course, 1 John 4:9, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." And one of my most favorite verses in the scripture is John 1:14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So the only begotten of the Father, he is the Son of God. So Jesus is Jehovah. He is Emmanuel. He is Son of God. Now here's the challenge. What do you have for you? Well, the word that I have to share with you is the word unique. He's unique. There's no other person like the Lord Jesus in all of the world, past, present, or future. He is unique. Notice from the scriptures we learn that Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. He holds all three of those offices. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. He is eternal. for us, we had a point in time past when we began, well, at our conception, and we will live forever. As believers in Christ, we live forever in the presence of God Almighty. But Jesus never had a beginning. He's always been eternal from the days past, right? And so that is a unique thing concerning him. Also, he is the creator of this universe. Scripture calls him the propitiation for our sins. And the word propitiation simply means satisfaction. Christ's death on the cross satisfied the wrath of God against us. And so he endured that wrath. He was the propitiation for us. He was a sacrifice for us in line with all of the Old Testament sacrifices, which all pointed to the future, to him as the Lamb of God to take away sin. He's called servant. We know that he is sinless. The scriptures tell us that. He had a humble birth and humble circumstances of life. Right, he's the King of Kings. He's God in the flesh, and yet his whole life was very humble on this earth. He didn't live in palaces in the city with all of the rich people. He very much was a humble man on this earth. And the most unique thing about the Lord Jesus is that was his Holy Ghost conception in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and he was virgin born, right? And so he is very, very unique among humanity. In Matthew 1:20-21, Scripture says, "While Joseph thought on these things," he was going to put away his wife because he found out she was pregnant, and he knew it wasn't him. "So while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Now that makes him pretty unique, doesn't it? He's the sinless Son of God, tempted in every point like we are, but he never gave in to the temptations. He always was victorious over them. John 1:29 is another verse that you probably have committed to memory. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." No one else could do that except the Lord Jesus. And then Luke 1:30-33, "The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." In every possible way, Jesus is unique among humanity, among men. No one else like him. And now the last S. You got Jehovah, Emmanuel, Son of God, unique. And the last S, I heard you say it, Savior. Yes, that is primarily why he came, to save his people from their sins. And so he is Savior. No other man, Muhammad can't do it, Buddha can't do it. Only Jesus, because of the work he did on the cross, is the one who can save us from our sins and give us eternal life by grace through faith. So 1 John 4:14, another verse that you need to commit to memory. "And we have seen," John says, "we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." In Acts 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's Acts 4:12. And Matthew 1:21, the angel to Joseph announcing the coming of Christ, says, And she, Mary, shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And one more, in Luke 19 and verse 10, Jesus himself says, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And aren't you glad that Jesus has come to this world at such a time as he did, in order that he might have a body upon which he might bear our sins on the cross and die in our place, shed his blood for the remission of sins, and that blood, when we put our faith and trust in him, washes away all of our sins. They are removed from us completely, never to be brought up ever again. There is great freedom in the salvation that Christ gives to us. So Christmas is all about Jesus. Do you remember what the word Christmas means? Christ sent, right? Christ sent. That's 1 John 4:14, John 3:16 tells us about that. So it's all about Christ, the Lord Jesus. It's about his incarnation when he became flesh, his Holy Ghost conception, his virgin birth, his coming from the glories of heaven to be made flesh and to dwell among the people that he created. He became one of us, except for sin. He had no sin. And he came to save us from our sins. So my encouragement for us today is, let's keep Christ in Christmas. Let's keep Jesus as the center of it all. You've probably heard that phrase. Jesus is the reason for the season. And you can quote that if you like, but I think it's a little deeper than that. But let's keep Christ in Christmas and praise God for his act of love in sending his Son to be our Savior. And may this Christmas be a wonderful time to remind ourselves of that, and to worship him and to praise the Lord for that gift.